Hey y'all, it's Brie Bagwell with your OnlyFans Breecap, and Rochelle Stepman joins me today, and she's one of my absolute favorite people because she is so unapologetically herself, which is an awesome, genuine human being. She'll give you the greatest pep talk, but can also be incredibly vulnerable about what it's like to be a real, full-time artist. She specializes in graphite illustration and dry media, but also does oil and watercolors and now tattoos. I've watched in awe as she's traveled solo across the desert in a beautiful van that she converted herself. Her personality and amazing art have caused her socials to blow up so much she didn't even know Kenny Chesney was in her DMs. The parallels of the music industry and the artist industry are so vivid and real, and that's what makes our friendship truly special. Please go to her website, RochelleStepman.com, follow her on social media to see the magic unfold. And just a few notes, I had a giant coughing attack mid-podcast and we had to cut. So there's some moments I repeat myself and sound a little crazy. Also, if you have little ones listening with you, there's quite a bit of cussing in this episode, FYI. My admiration of her knows no bounds, and she's a supermodel to boot. I really hope you enjoy this effortless conversation between two female entrepreneurs and the story of how we met. Rochelle, I'm so proud of you. Enjoy. Hey, y'all. This is Brie Bagwell with OnlyFans. And did you know this is going to be my 13th or 14th year at Music Fest in Steamboat, Colorado? I can't believe it. So this is Music Fest's 40th year being a festival. That is so incredible. It's one of the best music festivals there is. There's over 50 bands. So what are you waiting for? Go to themusicfest.com. Get on that wait list. It sells out every single year almost immediately. So you don't want to miss out. You don't want to be the only person that's not experiencing the coolest music festival there is. When you book your trip to Music Fest at Steamboat, you get 6 nights of mountainside lodging, 4 days lift passes, and 1 night lift pass. And don't forget that your Music Fest exclusive live music marathon pass is included with over 200 hours of live music and more. Go to themusicfest.com and tell them Brie Bagwell sent you. The Music Fest at Steamboat, down home, up high. Come get real with us.
Some of the emails are absolutely absurd.
We should have a segment where we read your absurd.
Dude, I have like one section that says weirdos. And we made it after like hundreds and hundreds have come through and we end up deleting them. But the weirdest one I've ever had, like it just made no sense. Was a guy trying to get a tattoo because I'm a tattoo artist and I'm an artist. And this guy wants a tattoo and he sends a picture of himself. And like, naked? I don't know what was going on down under.
Hey, hey, everybody. This is Brie Bagwell and this is my podcast, OnlyFans, where I talk to my friends. They love it. This is the podcast chair that I need. We need to put this in the RV. Get the RV. You can help me with that. You've been van remodel extraordinaire. You just know how to do all of that stuff. You just know how to remodel vans. How did you learn to do that? Oh, no, I asked a question.
Wait, also, are we starting?
Yes, I just like to get into it.
Oh, shit.
But, I mean, how you're always, like, with a power tool in the van, gutting it and fixing it. Like, come by that honestly, or is that?
I mean, it's been over years of time. Like, I don't know. I started doing like easels and like I did like custom size easels for this one show, and that was kind of the beginning of my building career.
Yeah.
And then it started going like stretcher bars and like the backs of canvases and stuff like that. And then I did framing for a lot of the art pieces that I did for gallery shows. And then, I don't know, it just like kind of like took off once I decided to buy a van. And I was like, I'm going to build this out after living in my car on a fishing trip for like 30 days.
Right. But I mean, that's amazing. And it's kind of that is you as an entrepreneur, right? That totally makes sense to me where, hey, I need this thing to be this certain size. Like, I'm just going to freaking figure it out and build it. And you did. And same with the van. And I love a power tool moment. Now that we've built our house,
oh, yeah.
I don't know why it's so intimidating. It's like, I can do this.
Yeah. I mean, like, I feel like if I couldn't, I would need to figure it out. Like, it's like when your screens, you know, get busted, I'm like, all right, I'm going to learn how to rescreen a door today. And my ass like does not do tutorials. Like I'm not like going on YouTube. I'm looking at it and like, you know, kind of figuring it out. Yeah. And I'm like, I always do it wrong the first fucking time. Yeah. It's like putting like the new bedding on your bed. It's like every time, the first time I'm doing it the wrong direction. It takes me like a minute to be like, okay, this is how you do it. But then I've got it, you know? It's like, you just got to do it right once. You might do it wrong, you know, a few times, but that's kind of how it goes. Yeah.
What can we get you to build in our new house? No, I'm just kidding. We are commissioning you for something, but I haven't decided what it's going to be yet. Cause I want some piece of you in our house. So I don't know. Now that I know you can do a screen door, maybe that. I'm just kidding.
You're like that also.
That also. Or I mean, just the act of learning to paint, learning to draw, like you have all different kinds of everything here. So did you, I don't even know. Okay. Rochelle and I are friends. Okay. Sorry. Beep. Edit that part out. Rochelle Stepman is here with me today, and she's now one of my friends, so it's exciting to have you on here. I would have been really excited in general to just have you on, but I'm double excited because we're friends now.
You say now, like it's like it happened yesterday. I'm like, how many years ago was that when we met?
Do you want to talk about how
we met? In the Hobby Lobby parking lot in our vans?
We should talk about how we met.
Talk about only vans, you know what I mean?
I mean, it's the epitome of it. Do you want to tell her or do you want, I think you should tell
no,
her.
No, you go.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, Rochelle and I were both at Hobby Lobby in the parking lot. We were both in our big Sprinter vans and we both had our dogs in the passenger seat. And so like I got in my van, shut the door. She got in her van, shut the door. We like made eye contact and
it was love at first sight.
And you're going to make me tell this story. I want you to tell it, but I want to hear your version, but here's my version of it.
Can you imagine if our versions were like completely different? It's like, what's wrong with us?
You're like, that's not how it happened at all.
My dementia brain.
We both have that overworked, underslept, underhydrated brain. Those aren't even words.
It made sense to me.
Okay. So we're in the Hobby Lobby parking lot. I don't know what I was doing there. I don't paint and draw for a living, but
I feel like it was home decor or something.
Yeah, or I think I get a lot of merch display stuff there.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
Or I like to go browse and pretend like I'm more artsy than I really am. But I was in my Sprinter van. You were in your Sprinter van. We were in the parking lot, and you had your dog in the passenger seat. I had my dog in the passenger seat. And I, like, looked at you, and you smiled at me. And then I smiled at you, and we kind of, like, waved. And then I remember being like, I love that person. She is so cute. And then you drove away and your logo was on the side of your
Is that how you... Okay, because I'm like, I don't remember if we like talked. This is also why I didn't want to tell the story. I was like, fuck, I can't remember fully. But okay, so that was how you hit... Did you slide in my DMs on Instagram? Oh, I love that.
And you were like, I thought that was you. And then we've been friends ever since. And then we went on like a blind date.
We did.
To Krause's.
And during COVID, right? Yeah, it was like during all that weird shit. And so I feel like it was like,
yeah,
you know, it's hard to make friends during that time. I just feel like as an adult woman, it's hard to make friends in general.
Yeah.
That like when you meet like a fucking cool chick, you're just like, this is so rare and special, you know?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I have on there like, finding a tribe is hard at our age. And also we work so much. You work around the clock. Like you just said, you got an hour of sleep and you were up till four working.
Yeah.
And it doesn't leave a lot of room for friends. And I feel, or texting people back all the time, or like sometimes group chats are a little overwhelming.
Yes. Yeah.
All day. And I would love to be more of a best friend to people, but my best friends that I have now are just, they understand that sometimes I can be there at the drop of a hat and sometimes I will be just working for a month straight.
Yeah, my friends have fully accepted. They're like, so the 50 texts that I've sent you, like, I think that you read them, but also like, did you see this one? I'm like, no,
I didn't see that.
They're like, did you see this one? I'm like, how much have I missed out on? She's like, I had a baby, you know? I'm like, fuck, like baby. how long have I not been responding to these? Like, it makes you feel bad, but it gets like piled up. And like the stories too on Instagram, mm-hmm. like you post a story and then all the messages that you had before that you're like, I'm gonna get back to these, you know?
Right.
I have people wanting like, they, instead of going to my website, which would make it a lot easier, you know, like it would make it, you guys would make my job a lot easier, but it's also like a sale's a sale. Like I'll take it when I get it. But, I just think it's interesting that, you know, they will text you or Instagram you like, hey, I want this and it's business. But then if you do a story and you have all these replies, that message is long gone, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't do a good job of separating them. It tries. Oh,
and then there's like 15 folders, which I didn't even know.
I know.
So Kenny Chesney was in one. And I was like, oh. And naturally, it had been a while since he had sent the message. And I'm like, I'm a idiot.
Just,
you know,
responding to an awesome artwork piece or what? What the
dog? I don't know what
I think he, wasn't it a dog piece?
Well, I can't remember what the first message was, because it didn't start out that he wanted art. He was like commenting on my art.
That's and right. And that's something you want to see Instagram if Kenny Chesney is
right.
commenting.
Apparently there's a folder that says
request?
Top requests.
Oh.
It's top. You don't know?
No.
You don't know?
I don't know.
Okay, so did you like my singing?
I did. You're a singer too?
I'm so good
at singing. Leave some talent
for the rest of us. Yeah, I do it in my spare time. It's a hidden talent. But no, I feel like also, what were we just talking about?
Top request folder.
Oh, yeah, you don't know about it?
No.
Well, there's all and then
general.
You don't see a top
one? I have all primary general requests.
Oh, there's a top one in there.
I don't know if I have as many followers as you. There might not be a top request in mine. We'll look at it.
I need to know.
Okay. Well, anyway, that is really interesting because I talk about that too. I don't know where things are. Is it in a text? Is it in a Dropbox folder? Is it in an email? Is it in a website request? Like, there are too many channels of communication. Actually, my band is all on WhatsApp, so we have a WhatsApp group, and that really helps separate things from my brain because... But then we have different WhatsApp. It's a lot to handle. And the notifications, I just turn all my social media notifications off, which is sad.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
But you have to be able to function.
My phone would die more than it already does 3 times a day, you know?
Yes. And then it's so interesting what you said about the website, because I had someone the other day text me, what time do you start? And then another, what time do you start? I had like 50 texts, what time do you start? And I was so frustrated by the time I went on stage because I had posted it, but I'm asking people, where are you checking? Well, the bar says this, the bar's Facebook says this, this says, I said, did you check my website? Because I'm pretty good about saying, and everyone, nope. It's like the last place people want to go.
No, nobody goes to your website, which is like, cool, that's my store. You know, like that's like my main.
It costs me a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
A year.
E-commerce, baby.
I know. Yeah. I know. So people are in your DMs requesting.
I'm going to go to your site after this.
Please go to my website.
I'm assuming it's BreeBagwell.com.
Yeah, RochelleStepman.com. Yep. Okay.
We're keeping it simple for people.
I mean.
And still no one goes, but.
I just. Interviewed John Wolf and I was like johnwolf.com. He's like johnwolfcountry.com. I'm like, dang it.
Oh,
I always check and I just didn't today for some reason. But anyway, you have an incredible Instagram, and that's why I think people want to message you on there, is because it's blown up. Like your reels, I see how many views they get and stuff. Like, holy moly.
Thank you.
Which is also, you're no longer, you know, just an artist. Now you are a social media video editor, content creator. But you do a good job at it. And I just want to say I'm proud of you, because that is so much work. And I have no idea how you are doing such a good job at it. Like, tell me all your secrets.
Thank you. I'm a shell of a person. So that's what's left of me. You know, it's like rest in peace to the old me. But
I thought you said I'm going to shelve a person. And I was like, I've already shelved my person too for my art. Shell of a person. Got it.
Yes, yes. And actually, ironically, shell is in my name. And I'm like, I use that all the time. I'm like, I'm shell shocked. Like, I just like constantly am making stupid fucking jokes. But, and then people won't laugh. And I'm like, did you get it? And they're like, I got it. It wasn't funny.
Well, I think that when people talk to you, I know it happens to me when I talk to you, or just a pretty girl in general, a very pretty girl. Like, you're a gorgeous person. Sometimes I get lost in like
talking, and I told Paul one time, I was like, when I talk to Rochelle, sometimes I'm like, find my head turning like this because she's so pretty.
Oh, that's so nice.
So maybe they're not focusing, and then they're probably like, oh, and you're funny too, bitch, what are you doing? But Paul said, he goes, welcome to being a man.
I really want to believe the reason why sometimes people miss my jokes is they're like, I'm sorry, you're just so pretty.
Yes.
Like, I don't think that's why, yeah, but
I think that's why.
I really appreciate the optimism there.
You can't be that pretty and that talented and funny. You better not be able to sing.
Which one's
I'm out
gotta
here.
Go?
I know.
The singer. Something's gotta go.
That's the only thing.
I'm like, if it makes you feel better, I've got like so much cover up packed under my eye bags right now.
Me too.
Like, these motherfuckers could carry groceries, you know? It's like, it's really bad. I'm like aging by doing these like late nights in the studio, you know?
But that's the only time. I mean, is that because that's when the rest of the world calms down? So I do my best work.
Oh,
I'll
yeah.
email my agent's like, well, they're reworking again. I email from midnight to 2 a.m. so much, but it's because nothing's coming in. In the mornings, the emails are coming in faster than they're going out, and I get so frustrated and so overwhelmed. So to me, it's like quiet, my phone's not dinging, and I can do my best work at night. Is that why you do that?
Yeah. It's like I do like mostly business stuff during the day, like admin kind of stuff. And we do like pitch emails and things like that. Building like leads lists, just random different tasks for like how to, you know, operate in our business to, then when it gets to be like, ooh, the like late night ether time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's like when I feel like no one's going to fucking bother me and I can just
lock in.
Yeah. And I can film for hours and I didn't miss like a call I needed to. It's like, it's just easier. And then clients have to talk to me during the day too.
Yeah. That
so like
sense,
if there's any like orders or like the print company has a question or my web guy, like everybody's got to get a hold of me. So I can't film for the content.
Right.
You know, I'm like doing a time lapse. I'm like, I will be here till I'm 87 years old. And people apparently don't have patience for that, you know?
I thinking of the last mental breakdown I had, it was when I was trying to film
mine was this
a
morning.
Video. Oh, and then I'm adding to your plate. I'm like, then you have to do this stupid podcast.
No,
I'm
so glad because it's like, oh, distract me.
Yeah.
That's the artist. Like, yeah. You know, it's like we want the distraction. I live for the distraction. And then when I'm alone, I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Oh my God, there's so much, you know?
It's so much. But somebody called me in the middle of making a video and it was just the snap that...
Don't you want to just punch him in the fucking face?
And they were just...
And you nailed it too, and then you're like, great.
Yeah.
No, I know, they mean no harm, but you're like, damn it. Like, it's like... And sometimes you can only get that one take that came out, like, natural. I mean, I just feel like... Even with like the years of having other people film you and you're like, oh, this will be funny for Instagram. This will be a good one that gets people to look at my art, but we'll like play on words with this or whatever. If you get it once, usually it's like that's the winner. But I like really want to have other people, you know, I have assistants film for me and I'm not nearly as calm.
Yep.
And
we're
I know that, like, you know, you suggested someone that works for you to work for me and he's amazing.
He's amazing.
And he can attest to the fact that I feel like I have mental breakdowns every time the phone goes up and the camera's on. I'm like, like I turn into a monster and I don't know where this comes from, but I'm like, I cannot be natural. However, I feel like it's the same with you with as someone who like consumes content. I noticed that when you film yourself, like the one that was hilarious in green when you're like, no, you go in front of the street or whatever. And it did really well, but it's you filming yourself. And so you're kind of a little bit more comfortable. And I'm like, poor Kyle. Like when he films me, I'm like fucking losing my mind, you know? I'm like, do I look stupid? He's like, no, you can't even barely see you. Cause I'm like, I don't even want to be in the shot. Like it's like pointless shit. Like,
but then you hire someone or we do music videos and they'll say, okay, take a sip of your drink. You know, they're filming. They're like, take a sip of your whiskey. And I'm like,
why does it seem like I've never sipped anything in my life? Yeah.
Yeah. And or Paul and I is like, just grab her hand. We're both like, you know, it's you're just
doing
natural...
like you're doing like the weird hand thing, not like lacing the fingers. But
I forgot what I'm doing.
It's like, what are we, brother and sister?
But that's so interesting that you say that, because and then people will say, do more of that. It's like, well, that video, that one for the green, it was just driving through green, right, New Braunfels every day.
And it just candidly came to you, right?
Well, yes, but I thought about it for 6 months.
Uh-huh, right.
I had already written the script in my head. I've thought about it. You know, it wasn't like I just did that one day on a whim. Right. I really planned all that out and think about it. Just like the podcast, when people say, oh, it's really natural for you to talk to people. It's like, well, I've been listening to their record for a month and I've been writing down a bunch of things. I do my research before, you know.
Right.
So it's not as easy as people think it is, but you always seem to have, like, every day on your stories, you always have your hair and makeup looks amazing. And I don't, if I'm not playing a show or doing a podcast, and usually even when I do the podcast, there's a 0% chance that I'm doing my hair and makeup. So do you like wake up? This is for me. This is the podcast part where I, for my own personal research, do you get up and like get ready every day?
Every single day. I like, so my routine for, because filming is like, I, for years it was like when you didn't have to be the face of what you were doing, when you didn't have to do reels, right? It was just all art. And it was so nice. Those were the days, you know, because people actually like, and I had thousands of followers and it was going really well and I was selling well, but I didn't have to be on camera. I'm like, I'm not a fucking superstar over here. You know, I'm just a person. I'm just a gal. And it's like, all of a sudden when you have to be on camera all the time, I'm like, well, I certainly don't want to go from the time lapse to now you have to see in real time video of me drawing it. You have to, you know, to connect like the artist to the work, when reels became a thing. And I'm like, the last thing I want is to be like, fuck, I didn't get ready today. Like, screw that, you know, because it's like, then you're stressed for another fucking reason. Then you're like, I have to go, like, depending, I've had studios, I've had art studios out of the house, like downtown in certain cities that I've lived in, or I've had them where it's like in the house. But regardless, that's another like, you know, hour of either commuting, showering, doing your hair, makeup, and then you're like, I'm filming a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to change outfits. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be like, and it just makes me feel like whatever I'm going into that day, candidly, if I'm like, I need to film this, I need to film and I have to be in it, I'm ready. So it's just a less stress, but that's why.
Don't
but
for do years, this to me.
But for years, I didn't do it. Well, and okay, so what helps me set myself up for that is I work out first. So like, if you work out first, you kind of are like, okay, I'm not going to just go into like getting ready. I fucking hate
doing
my makeup.
No wonder you don't sleep.
I don't. I'm, but you know what? I'm going to pass away soon if I keep going at this rate. Like, I feel like it's like you start to get so, like, I'm not in my 20s anymore. And I'm realizing that. I'm like, whoa, my 20s like blew by. And I worked so hard in my 20s compared to a lot of people that I saw have fun in their 20s. Yeah. I'm like, what is that like? You know, they're like, are you coming tonight? I'm like, I don't even know what you're asking about, but no, I will be in the same chair. Some days I realize I'm like, I didn't get up for like 8 hours and I'm like a hunchback, like full on Quasimodo.
How do
Texas.
You focus for that long? Being somebody who has ADD like I do, you do, but like you're able to lock into your art. Do you think that that's...
I think with my... Okay. I have extreme ADHD, so like I have to like prioritize and like lists are my life. I have to do lists, just like how you do like piles of stuff all over your house, you know.
But my when house you sent like
when you sent me that day, I was like, I love this. Like, this is how my brain like is like, I'm gonna organize the chaos and then I'm gonna take it one little pile at a time, you know. And it's like, I feel like that's how I kind of take on work. It's like you will be like, okay, I'm going to do the analytical stuff during the day so I can be in that mode and then I can be in flow state for when I'm creative. Like, it's like, it's different writing songs and playing than it is strategizing how you're going to scale a business. I feel like I never went to business school, but, and thank God, because I think I'd fail. But like the real deal is like how you learn business, in my opinion. Like, I mean, I think that business school would have been great, but there's a lot of, you know, positives in the fact that you are building a business that is all your own. And so when you're doing it from the ground up, you kind of learn, you learn what tasks to take on that makes sense together, and then how do I move through this to get to the creative stuff. And if I could just be an art slave and no one like someone else ran the business part, that's like my dream. I'm like, I don't even want to do that stuff, because the thing that I'm really good at is this. I'm good at creating. Like, I mean, if you had a choice, would you want to do any of that? Like,
no, I mean, I do enjoy knowing where every dollar goes. Like, I enjoy being it, but being the person in the trenches creating the art and being the bird's eye view 50,000 feet above your career, thinking, okay, where do I want to be in 5, 10, 15 years? Those are two polar opposite things.
Right,
and it's very hard to be both of those people at once, because a lot of times, especially early in my career, I would blink and a year would go by and I hadn't written any songs, or I hadn't, you know, thought about going to Nashville to make connections, or I hadn't reached out to people to write songs or build relationships, because I was so in it on the road. It's hard to be the creator, the mastermind, the, you know, it's a tough thing. It's, we talk about it with all other artists. It's a thing that we have to do now. And now it feels like with social media, there's that layer on top of it.
Oh God. So yeah. Why not? Like, let's just add something else. Yeah. Like, I'm like, oh, I have to be an actress now. Yeah. Like, it's like, I don't want to, and I'm shit at acting. I honestly cannot go on camera when I'm not in like a good vibe. And that's why usually when you see me on like a story, I'm like goofy as fuck, because I'm actually in a good mood.
Right.
But I cannot fake it. I know some of these bitches are faking it. You know it. And it comes off that way. And I'm like, I am not willing to be cringe, because I won't feel good about it. And I feel the same way. I feel like when I see what your content is, it always makes me laugh. It's very much real on the road, like what you're doing and what you love to do. But never does it come off like this. There's a lot of saturated, just like very, bleh.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want to see another Instagram face. Like, you know, like they all look the same. And I'm like,
yeah.
Why are your noses so skinny?
Yeah.
Like, how did they get like that?
The I'm tiny like, nose.
The tiny nose. And then, you know, in another like 4 years, it's like, bigger noses are cool. And those bitches will be like, fuck, you know, like, it's like, I just feel like, you know, if you just stick to like being who you are and not doing the, like, I get that people, I have a very different way of going about it. And I realized, like, you know, I was really climbing and I did really well. And then Instagram one day was like, we deactivated your account. And it was at like, I don't know, 200 and some thousand followers. And I was shocked, like absolutely destroyed for about 3 minutes. And then I was so impressed with myself that I realized, I'm like, you are not Instagram. Like, what is this world that we live in that it's like, it doesn't take away your talent. It doesn't take away all the people that have like bought art from you. It doesn't take away your fans. It doesn't take away the connections. It just takes away this like ability to have that at your disposal whenever. Mm-hmm. And I never want to use that ability like maliciously or non-authentically. I feel like that's where the best art is going to come from, is like me being wholeheartedly myself. Like, I've cried several times on there. Like, when I'm having these, like, you know, like, it's not even like a once a month thing. It's like, sometimes I'll have like 4 breakdowns a month. It's like one a week. Sometimes it's like 3 a week, and then I don't have one for like 3 weeks, and I'm like, yes, you know. But you have these breakdowns about, do I want to keep doing this? Because it really is you wearing so many hats. And so at the same time that it's amazing that we operate the business side and we're in charge of those decisions, we understand the money coming in, the money coming out, the opportunities that we take, and we're in charge of it. It's very different than if a label was to like absolutely own every decision, or a manager of mine was to own every decision. You are just meant to fall in line and do those things. We get to be in charge of that. But there is an offset in the fact that we'd probably be producing a lot more. We'd be in our creative flow a lot more. And imagine how many songs would make you feel like you actually got that, like, almost like therapeutic, like, real experience of it came to me naturally because you didn't have that other stress.
Right.
Because the people who are meant to do business, and there are so many people that are amazing at it, that I'm like, yeah, I'm not, you know, it's not me, man.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad-free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BreeBagwell.
Are you ready to take your merchandise to the next level? Well, just ask me who I use, and that is CH Lone Star Promo. They specialize in screen printing and direct-to-garment, embroidery, laser engraving, anything promo-related, they can do it. Step up your merch game now with CH Lone Star Promo and tell them Bree and Whiskey sent you.
But I pride myself on the fact that I built, you know, fairly good business, and but it's not what I'm best at. And I think that as I've built this business over a decade, it's more about like who is best for what role within your business to be able to have more time to be in that creative flow, you know?
Those people are hard to find.
Oh, they it's sure
like,
are.
And every time I get...
thousands of dollars later, I'm like, where are they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we've talked about this many times because a lot of times when I hire someone extra or take on a manager, it's when I'm so exhausted that I'm tired and I'm so tired of doing everything myself. Mm-hmm. And I'm so worn down that I'm kind of given to this idea of, okay, I'm just going to get some help. And almost always I am disappointed. There's been a few times that I'm not, and obviously Kyle's one of those examples, but you know, I wish he doesn't work for me full time. I wish I could. He's got his own thing.
Yeah.
You know, he's here when he can be, and he's here for the podcast, but it's...
Kyle's also our therapist.
Yeah, I'm like
day one, I'm like, Kyle was so exposed to like the behind the scenes, the shit that you're like, I don't want people to see this, but I also am like, I'm sure this is so relatable to mm-hmm. so many creative people out there that just need a little extra help. And honestly, he's so great at all those things that I'm like, it's just nice to have that support. I feel like I have a therapist, mm-hmm. but the people that are like real in charge, the like high ups, the agents, it's been rough. Like it's not gone where I thought I had this vision and they guarantee you everything.
Oh, when you leave that meeting with that manager, you are like, this is going to change my life. I'm mm-hmm. so excited. And then they get 20% of that gross. And it's like, if you're not growing the gross, but you're taking my profit. And it's
right.
I grip to my profit with my freaking fingernails in there. And it really, really frustrates me for someone to come in with something that I've built for 20 years and immediately get their chunk of the pie if they're not absolutely blowing me away. And it's very personal, and it's almost always ended very badly because it's like, oh no, this is what I have spent my entire life building. And I wake up Monday morning and I do all the emails and all the things. So if you're dropping the ball on an email or an opportunity for me that I wouldn't have dropped for myself, like that is like punching me in the face.
Yeah, totally.
I will become vicious over that because I'm so protective of this.
I have had people represent me who spell my name wrong. I'm talking several times.
No.
And I'm like, this does not look good, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's humiliating because then it's like, okay, now this person goes, is this even the correct Rochelle? You know what I mean?
Like, right.
It's, I don't know. You have to count on people. And that's the thing about, you know, what we do is so personal. And I think you need to have somebody that understands you like a friend would.
Right.
But that also can be difficult because then I'm hiring friends. I'm hiring people that feel like friends because these bitches got to be in the studio with me.
Right. That is very...
And I love being around them. And so that's how I get comfortable. That's how I'm cool with them, like filming me, seeing the ins and outs of my chaos piles, you know, all over the studio. And I don't know, it just works better, but it also can be very difficult because when you want the really like professional person who just does this, they represent people, they have the leads list, they have the contacts, and they're going to get you the opportunities. They have this idea of what they're going to make you, you know, they don't have, because they don't know you yet, you know?
Right.
So there's two different ways to go about it. Do you go with the person that you know really well and they can help you. And like together, you can kind of be a team and help build those things that feel like they're the weaker parts in your business.
And, it's awkward when you have to reprimand them.
Oh my God, I'm the worst. I am like truly the worst boss. Like I'm first of all the most understanding person ever, and so that's been difficult because it'll take me about 3 times of realizing that like this is unacceptable to actually be able to have the guts to say it.
It's so hard.
Like, I don't know how to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Poor
Kyle. I can't even see you. It's seriously like I'm blind.
But your eyes were like sparkling and you were talking about business and the light was hitting your sparkly eyes and it was like a moment. For me, it was a moment.
What the camera was seeing during that. And I'm like, was that just like a crazy reflection?
It was awesome.
Did I look like I had one eye?
No, it was very, very pretty.
Don't you lie to me.
I interrupted you because you said you have one option. You have like the personal option or the other option, which is somebody who doesn't know you, who comes in and like you said, maybe has a different outlook, or maybe they're only seeing dollar signs and,
or they have opportunities that you could be good for and they're trying to make you be good for them. And it's like, well, that's a little, not even a little, but that might be vastly different from what you're going for or the type of person you want to be, you know? And it's like, then there's like friction out the gate that like those type of situations, they want you moldable. And at our age now, it's like hard to mold us because we're pretty, you're damn sure in your 30s who you are.
And it's so weird because I don't know if you've had this experience, but everybody, I'm sure you have, but everybody that I've worked with, that's a manager or somebody like that, has been like, I love you. You're so authentic. They fall in love with your authenticity and you as being a genuine artist. And then not all of them, but some of them just want to change it. It's like, you're here because of what I was doing. And then you're actively trying to alter it. Like, I do not understand the mindset of somebody like that. Like, I just,
part of me wonders, well, not even wonders. I'm like learning so much in my weird ass alone time by myself. Like, one thing that I think really helps with that is asking questions to these people instead of saying, I don't like that I feel that you're trying to kind of like make me something I'm not. But leading with a question, such as like relationships too, it's like, if you lead with a question, you ask, so what was it that drew you to me? It reminds them.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I love that.
It leads, and they feel so welcomed in the conversation, then they might
let me tell you what
they might just like, you know, catch themselves and you're like, well, that's absolutely not what we're doing. Do you see how different? But you don't even have to say much. You have to let them hear themselves. And it's something that I've learned has helped me more in business than anything else. Well, mainly because I never have a boyfriend.
Okay, well that's
but I'm like, I think that in relationships that would be like, I feel like marriages, if people, instead of saying, I don't like this, it's like, why don't you ask, you know, when we first started dating, like, what was the thing that you liked about me? If it has to do with the opposite of what they're trying to kind of like get you to be or do or change or whatever, it's like, well, at one point, and then you bring them back to like where they saw you in the most pure, genuine, real, authentic way that you really were. And I think that that changes things.
This is exactly why I love talking to you for little things like that. You need a girl businesswoman to be, another boss babe to bounce things off of. And I don't know, I have I'm not bashing guy friends, but there is something about having another woman that has been through the same. How many times has a manager or agent tried to hit on you though? You ever get, I mean, I feel like that would happen so much with you, or people's intentions with you wouldn't be as.
I feel like I live the strangest life of like, just, it sucks to say this. It really does. Cause I'm like, I really pride myself on being like I don't even say like glass half full. I'm like, that bitch is full. It's like overflowing, you know? And it's like, these are just the guys that you're like, fuck you, like whatever. But it is unbelievable how much you have to question intentions of people because they don't lead with it. They're leading with something else. Oh, I want art. Oh, you do? You do? Right. And then they're like, how about dinner? I'm like, bitch, you know, like that's not, no, no. And what do you think dinner's going to lead to?
Yeah.
I should be like, yeah, let's go get some steak. And then yeah. we eat steak and I'm like, bye.
Yeah, right. Like, thanks for the steak.
I'm not really sure where the plan is going, but it's like interesting because I have assistants answer emails and some of the emails are absolutely absurd.
We should, like, have a segment where we read your absurd emails and
DMs.
This
one was so funny. It was so funny. And
pull him up. Oh, Kyle has access.
When he started helping me with like pitches and stuff, yeah. he got on my email and I have like one section that says weirdos. And we made it after like hundreds and hundreds have come through and we end up deleting them. But the weirdest one I've ever had, like it just made no sense, was a guy trying to get a tattoo because I'm a tattoo artist and I'm an artist. And this guy wants a tattoo and he sends a picture of himself. And like, naked? I know, I mean, I don't know what was going on down under, but he wanted something on his wrist and he sent a picture of himself with his shirt off, like in the bathroom with a dirty mirror selfie, and his wrist is nowhere in the picture at all, but he's like flexing his like six pack. And I'm like, what is the picture supposed to be helping me decipher for his tattoo? Like,
right.
The point wasn't even there. I was like, dude, you know when something is so obvious? Like, it was the most ridiculous thing. Like, I don't know what goes through one's mind.
Yeah.
But then I think about the men that try to, like, you know, really keep it inside. Don't let her know. I'm like, I fucking appreciate it. But, like, I want you to keep it inside forever. I want you to never tell me that there was some weird agenda, because then it makes me feel like you came to me because you wanted this tattoo. You came to me because you wanted this beautiful, you know, $15,000 art piece.
Right.
I expect that you came to me because I'm the fucking bomb, not because right. of something else. That I'm like, dude, like, this is what I'm best at. Come to me for this, but don't. You're not a date with me. I'm going to like ignore you and eat, like inhale a steak. You know what I mean? It's like not even fun. So
that's so frustrating. Or sometimes people, when we'll play, bar owners, it doesn't happen as much as it used to, but bar owners and stuff, they used to go, oh, you were actually good. Like, well, why did you hire me? Like, that, okay, so if you're not hiring me for
you're a
my talent or my art,
ass, girl.
You're hiring me for something else. And then you're like surprised that
shocking that you could be talented. Shocking.
And or people will say that about my songwriting, like, I didn't know you're a good, you know, well, what am I putting off that's not about my
you're
art?
Like, I dressed myself as well.
Yeah. And yeah,
which honestly is some of the hardest.
I try to put my art out there before anything else, and somehow it still gets a little bit secondary to,
yeah, I feel,
which
that
is frustrating
too.
And how, I mean, I always wonder how you even price your art, because sometimes I thought of you when I was in Santa Fe. I was just in Santa Fe, Cava there, and Paul and I were going to out art galleries, and I told him out loud, I'm like, I wonder how Michelle,
I remember the text,
because sometimes it's this and that, you know, the range, or one I said, that's beautiful, it's giant, I bet it's 50 grand. It was like $1 million, like, and then another one was giant big and it was $8,000. I'm like, okay, well, how do you even, is it the time you put into it, or is it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And I feel like you kind of figure it out as you go. Like, every artist prices stuff differently. You could be that really lucky person, which I do feel like there are people who are, and I don't really believe in luck, but like, maybe they were manifesting correctly and I was doing it wrong. But I'm just saying, I feel like they had a life coach. Something right. was going on. They had some tea on something that I did not know of. But they start out expensive. And I'm like,
right.
I did not go that way. I built a business from, I will work for free. Like anyone who, you know, and you're searching for opportunities. I started doing that before I graduated art school. And I got my first big commission from a company in California. And that kind of set the precedent, because that first commission was like $2,500. Then from there, it was, and that was like this size. And I want to say that from there, it kind of helped me understand the time it took and then my cost of sale. And you start looking at all the different factors, and then you start building like a, okay, my custom art business, anything custom should be more, you know, mm-hmm. because it's custom for them. And I can't, a lot of times you can't really use it to sell prints. You still own the rights or whatever, and you could if you work out that agreement. But you want to see, like, what is the real value in the time I'm taking, and then what's the cost versus where you're at in your business? Like, are you, your value is everything. It's the education. It's the you know, right. music lessons. It's the venues you've played.
I never had any of those. I probably should have.
But that also yeah. could be experience what you think of as yeah. your value, you right. know? And I think for every artist, when you're underpricing, that is a huge, like, misstep. And I think I've done it so much in my career where, like, when I'm doing it, I'm realizing, oh, this was a mistake. But what's great about that is that the next time I'm not going to make that mistake with that size piece. Right. I will probably make that mistake somewhere else. Right. You know, I'm like, next yeah. week I'll make a different mistake.
We just make mistakes all the time.
I'm a mistake maker.
But, yeah. But I love that. And it was so weird. I had a whole shift too where I raised my prices mm-hmm. and people paid them. Like,
Kyle made me.
Yeah, good. But it's like, I should have done this 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I got so mad at
myself.
And
isn't that crazy? 5 years. Think about how much the economy's changed. How, I mean, yeah. everything is just different. Everything's more expensive.
Eggs are expensive. Why can't I be expensive?
I want to think I'm an expensive artist.
You are.
You know, I want to believe that.
You are. And we've arrived. It's not like we're still over here going, we shouldn't right. charge. Like, we are there now where we're like, we should. I just should have been there.
Some
earlier.
Of your brain is still there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because memories are there for a reason, right? Like, I need to remember where I came from, that I started at the bottom and I built something from, like, I think I had $700 in my account when I started my business. And I had the best year in business I've ever had last year. And then this year, it's like the first 6 months of the year, it was like all tattooing and building that van and almost no art, which was a really hard fluctuation for me based on how I've been doing my career for like a decade. So that fluctuation changes what you take in. And then last year I did so good and I sold a massive amount of my collection. I sold almost like all of the artwork that I had.
Wow.
To a private collector for an Airbnb, like multi-million dollar beautiful home in Colorado. And that was like, oh my gosh, like, it was such a amazing moment to have.
It makes me
because
want to cry.
I had so much self-worth issues as an artist, and not even as a woman, but there's self-worth issues there too, that like, if I just was more masculine, I feel like I'd have more of that like natural business, like go-getter sense, yeah. you know, like, but I'm like very nurturing and I want to say soft, but it's like, dude, thrice is when I lose my shit. I'm like, okay, you can fuck with me two times. Okay. The third, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to have an absolute breakdown. And that's like what my dogs see every day. I'm like, if I've yelled at you twice,
yeah.
you know, when moms are like counting, I'm like, I don't fucking count. Yeah. I just lose it. Like that is a frustrating thing as a woman, because I feel like a man, and I love men. I'm not like hardcore feminist or anything, but I do think that there's a level of like this, if a woman is, there's a fine line. If a woman is stern in business, she can be perceived as a bitch, mm-hmm. saying the exact same thing that a man says just based on the fact that she's a woman.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know if it's the tone, but I've tried to train myself on like the tone and how to like not lose eye contact and be firm and don't say after, or I don't know, we could negotiate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like I'm the worst. I've had assistants that work under me, learning the business from me, going, do not negotiate this as I'm about to do it. Like, what is that?
Yeah. You know, it's, well, like, that's, I mean, we are wired differently. Like, that's like, and that's okay, because there's a lot of beautiful things that women do and have, and they can be so great about seeing the big picture and also being very acutely aware of details. And like, I mean, we have a lot of really great things. And I always tell people, you know, what if I don't like negotiating. There are men and women both who just enjoy it. Like I
enjoy watching it.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. And I watch them and it gives me whatever. So like I'm lucky enough that I have an agent who does it for me, so I don't have to, which is awesome. But even with him, sometimes I have to be like, okay, we need to make this price minimum, you know. But I wanted to go back just because I did a lot of things, underpriced myself for a long time. But there is a lot of value in really having to be scrappy, because look what all we've learned. But also, we had to do that because I had to take lower than what I wanted so I could eat.
Right.
Like
right.
There, it's not like I was just like, oh, I don't think I'm worth a lot. Like I'm just going to sit at home or whatever. You know, it's like, no, I had to pay my bills. So sometimes 100%. I would go and be underpaid and be like, okay, I have to sell 17 t-shirts to be able to pay my band tonight or something.
Right.
And there's value in that. And I just want people to know that, you know, even if you feel you're underpriced as an artist, you probably are. The value society places on, you know, I always think if artists got paid like NFL players,
God, I know.
Can we place value? Can we place multimillion dollar salary value?
My
on
thing too is
artists?
Like those guys are, you know, they're covered if anything happens. I'm like, dude, my hand breaks off my wrist, which I mean, every day at some point I'm like, it's gonna break off today. Like today is the day, you know.
It's gonna have and a little like, tripsy, and
I feel like they're covered in that. And I'm like, just the insurance policy would be wonderful.
Health insurance like in general.
Dude, I went looking for insuring my hand and I'm like, oh my God, because I was surfing in California. I started surfing there and there was a shark. Okay. And then the next day there was a shark attack. I'm pretty sure he was the motherfucker underneath me. And I'm like on this like shortboard. I got like pretty good. I was like, you felt it. And I'm like, fuck this. I go home. I'm like, listen, you and I have to have a conversation because this.
She's talking to her hand.
This goes away.
Yeah.
I bye-bye to my career. I don't know how to use my left hand. And right. So I started trying to like train myself to draw with my left hand.
Just in case.
Oh my God. So stupid.
Yeah,
but
you probably
also
draw better with your left hand than
I have like a collection of drawings and I'm like, these look insane. But
what are your left hand drawings?
I mean, they're.
You should sell those to the really creepy guys that are in the DMs. Just be like, I'll go on a date with you. You can have a left hand drawing and it's going to be 50 grand. And then you sell your left hand drawings.
I mean, okay. What is funny is like when I did that, I started doing those reels. It was like when a client asks if you can go cheaper.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd have this like dog portrait that took me like 100+ hours and it'd be like finished with fucking beautiful, you know?
Yeah.
And then I place over it like a Sharpie drawing of like these shitty dogs. I got offers on that. And I'm like, how? They're like, oh, I want the cheap one. And I'm like, this is proving my point. Like, I've got to get better clients, you know? Like, It's like you want the clients that really want what you're great at. Like, they want your music and your sound because they see a difference in you versus, you know, the other country singer over there that maybe has a similar genre, but they love this album that you just released and they love that sound and they love your voice. There's something very specific about why they chose you. That's the dream client. It's actually not even like a budget thing. It's like, I want those clients that are like, I want Rochelle because I've seen X, Y, and Z. Like the collector that bought all those pieces, he knew names of pieces from several years ago. And I did not know anyone cared enough to know that. Like, it was wonderful.
Yeah. And that's so wild about just getting to know you. And I mean, I was just kind of on your Instagram before we'd ever spoken a word to each other. And you fall in love with how passionate you are about your work and how really good it is. I mean, like really just next level stuff. And who do we have? We got a Waylon back here. And this is now, you've kind of worked into this Western, you're in your Western era.
I'm in my Western.
Right now.
Yeah.
And I love did you sell that? You sold that one, right?
Uh-huh. With all the sketches, that you saw in the studio.
Sketches. Uh-huh. Oh my gosh.
But I have, I have prints now. So
sad
I'm
that went away. Cause like I got attached to it seeing it.
The
best. Do you feel like that?
Yes. I was so attached to it because I knew it was the beginning of something it was the beginning of something very new that I've wanted to do this forever. I've wanted to do a Western series. And I found myself being like, when's the last time you actually did a piece for you? Because I was tattooing so much.
Yeah.
And then I was doing custom art. And I'm like, I can't remember from my own brain and heart. Like, do I even remember how to do this? Do you ever feel like that?
Totally.
You're like, do I know how to write a song? Because it's like you could choose from, you know, all these other songs and be like, that one actually fits really well. It works with my voice. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really know how it works, but like, I'll see something that I'm like, I could do something well there. I see like a good option of a clientele. I feel like that would be popular. People would buy that. Or I could do something from my own skull and maybe that would be better.
And it might actually be a skull.
Because the thing is that that's true to you. And I mean, but you could search for 10 years, have that out for 10 years, keep posting it and posting and posting it, doesn't sell. And then one day, and we're talking like 8 years later, I sold the collection.
That's so wild. And that,
for $75,000 too. So like, to even be able to do that and like somebody's giving you a check for all of your best, like all of your favorite pieces, you're like, what the fuck?
That's amazing. Like,
and we should expect this, but we don't. And it's like $75,000 to me was so crazy. And to another artist, I'm like, one fucking piece is $75,000. Right, right. But to me, it was like at the time and when you're pricing it, you're like, oh, it's a lot. If somebody pays 10 grand for this, then I went into NFTs and I was selling more. My art was selling more as a JPEG. I'm like, I'm having a hard time with this.
Yeah. Like, I remember you telling me about that. And I was like, I'm sorry, I don't understand what it is. And you were like, it's just this. And I was like, what? It was crazy. Mind blowing.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that you did it. And they were very cool. I mean, of course they were cool because it was you, but it was like, I just couldn't wrap my mind around it. Same with, there's so much AI and weird stuff. And that's why I think that the pendulum is swinging where it's going back to real people, real things, real art.
I think so too.
So, and what you've done, you've built, and it's you actually doing it, you actually thinking of it. And I'm so proud of you for really doing something that you want to do, because it really took someone, which was my producer, Rachel Loy, being like, what does Brie Bagwell want to say right now?
Right.
Write that song. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no one has ever asked me what I want to say right now because I'm so busy and I had a publishing deal and I was on record, you know, all these things and touring all the time. And it is so if you're artists listening, and I'm sure, or whatever you do, you know, don't forget to ask yourself every once in a while what you want to do, because it can be this most beautiful Western creation. I mean, as soon as you were into it, I was like, okay, I'm so into this. It's so good. And it's already gone. But well, this
and
is
then,
the next.
And then the funny thing is that as I was drawing this, I'm like, oh my God, this kind of looks like Brie. And I was imagining, because you wear these like bright red shirts, like I'm like, I feel like, so I started making her shirt like bright red. Now it's like a little bit more muted. I have to go in there with like the low lights and stuff, but like the long hair and the cowboy hat and stuff, I was like, I feel like this is Brie. Like, yeah, you ended up being in the piece. And sometimes I'll be drawing and I'll be like, this face that I made up ended up looking like one of my good girlfriends, or like, you know, it's just like, I love seeing those weird organic things. Like, if you write some lyrics and you're like, this is so funny because this describes homegirl, you know, like, it's just like, I love when that happens. And if we're not available to that enough, I feel like we miss out on like some of those really organic, beautiful moments that are why we did this in the first place.
Right.
And exactly. It's funny because before this, I was having a moment, like an artist moment of like, dude, I don't know how sustainable this is to work this much. And because half the time I don't feel like it's actually work when I'm like actually drawing.
Right.
But to take the days doing a lot of admin stuff and fulfilling orders and like pitches and, oh my God, I
know.
Hate it. And it's like, sometimes I just really wish that I did it for fun. Remember when we used to do that as kids, like how amazing and magical that felt. And then you go and you decide to do the thing you loved, and there's a trade for money. And that's a beautiful thing, because you know you have talent. If you can even pull it off once, you've got it, you know? But it's a hard thing to do when you feel like you're not scaling at the point that maybe you were last year or several, like every year I was like growing and doing better. And last year was so big. And then this year it was like, okay, I'm going to hunker down and build that van. And I built like a mobile tattoo studio in the Sprinter, which was like a great ROI. Awesome. Like, I feel like it was a really smart idea. And then, you know, 3/4 of the way through the year, I was like having health issues, and like I have like really bad arthritis, and I just realized, I'm like, I can't do both the way that I've been doing both. It's just like my body literally is like, fuck you, bitch.
Well, the small talk would kill me. If I had a if I had a small talk with someone while I did a tattoo on them for 8 hours.
Nobody small talks with me. We're getting into like deep shit. Like,
so wait, yeah, but you're also a therapist. That's gotta be heavy. Yeah. Like, that's a lot.
Sometimes they're my therapist. Okay. Like, I have to be real. Like, yeah. I can't even say that I've had the same experiences as, I don't really feel like I fit in the tattoo industry. Like, I just don't. I don't feel like, I feel like they're a little more calloused because of the shit probably that you have to deal with in that industry. Yeah. But we choose my clients very carefully. We vet them really well. And we pretty much know by the time that they're coming in for their appointment, because they're booked like 6 months out and they're flying in.
Right.
It's like you're kind of, you know who you're going to be sitting with. And then I love hearing about their life. But if I was one of those tattoo artists that has people just walking in and I got to share space with you for, I don't know, and I didn't plan it, like my energy field cannot do, I would be losing it all the time. I couldn't do walk-ins. Like, yeah. That just would be awful.
That's, and it's amazing that you learned to tattoo by tattooing on your own self. So I think you got to check that out on Instagram. We already like flew by in time, but like, can you just talk about tattooing on yourself for a second? Like, how, I can't even wrap my brain around it. When I saw, I was like, of course it makes sense. It's a natural transition to go from, you know, you're this amazing artist. You can draw, paint, you can just do anything. And then tattoo, that feels like the next logical step. And how do you learn? I'm just going to get my thigh. And I'm going to get in there.
Well, okay. So,
with a needle.
So one of my previous clients, he started as a client. Then he became a great friend of mine.
Bo Brumble?
No. No, my friend Dan. Okay. And he was a tattoo artist several years ago for a long time. And he's an amazing musician now. And he was my client in LA, and came down to San Diego. And I did his album art. And he's the one who trained me as a tattoo artist several years later. And he came to Texas. I flew him out. He got a hotel. And for a week and a half, I'm not kidding, I learned in a week and a half how to tattoo.
That's,
day one, I'm bawling. I'm just absolutely a wreck. He said, same thing happened to me. He's like, I cried my eyes out. I was like, I suck at art, because he's an amazing painter. And so he was an artist before. And it's really hard to not be as good. And you're like, no, I have to be the best.
Yeah,
you know?
I like to be like, good at it.
Yeah. And yeah. So I'm like, it's always been this thing that like, I've never liked tattooing as much as I love art, probably because I'm better at it. But also, I don't have to spend one-on-one time with someone the entire time that,
yeah,
I'm,
that's exhausting.
Dude, this is like over 100 hours, yeah, of like pushing like the colored pencil into the piece. And same, this is on wood, and so this takes twice as long. That's why I'm doing it smaller. But I mean, we're talking hundreds of pencils at this point I've gone through.
Right, because you have to get the pigment in there. It's so wild. It does not look like colored pencil.
And then you go,
it's,
and
so
you
insane.
You have to sand it with like fine grit sandpaper, right, to like make sure it's smooth. And that's how you get that wood grain to come back out. And
right,
it's like the process and the amount of like just educating yourself on what works and what doesn't.
Right.
That's years and years of like working at it. I didn't even learn that in art school, you
right
know? So that's part of the value. That,
yeah,
goes back to the value. The things that you learn on your own, like I think the more self-educated you are in discovering like things that you're like, ooh, I fucking love the way that sounds, that is part of your value. And I think that I forget so often, but I can see value in other people so easily. But it's very difficult, I think, for many artists to see it in ourselves, you know?
Well, I'll tell you every day, because I just think that you are so talented. And every time we talk, it's just like this. It's like business, this, this. And it's okay to not feel 100%, I'm amazing, I'm a badass. Like, we do feel that, but it's okay to also have
insecurities. I feel like they're very short-lived moments of that. I'm like, well, hell yeah, that's sweet. Okay, I suck over here. Yeah. You know, it's like...
Or, you know, why isn't my calendar full for November? I must be terrible. I've had the biggest year of my career, and I don't know why I'm, like, having a moment being like, no one wants to hire me. It's not true. I just played two shows. It's totally... But we think that way. It's wild.
That's gotta be... I think that has something to do with like just how society does, like, kind of how we're brought up in society is to always want what's next and not appreciate the now.
Yeah.
Like right now I could have a lot of stillness. I don't have, I purposefully am taking a break from tattooing. I'm focusing on art, and that's a beautiful, calm piece. Yet I'm like, losing my shit, and I'm like, I need this and this and this lined up, because the security of what we've been trained, and it's like, dude, nothing's gonna take your talent. That's the great part about this. So we have to remember that in the moments of like, well, we've had all of these cool moving parts, but now we don't have these things lined up, and so we think that we're missing something, when I think there's something better out there.
And that talent needs to be paying them bills, though. That's all I know. And it has. And it is for you.
Yeah.
It is for me. But it's not guaranteed. And that's terrifying. You know? And it could be gone. And I think about that if my voice, you know, whatever.
Totally.
But I just couldn't be more proud of you. Please, if you haven't, if you're listening to this, you need to go watch on YouTube so you can see the beautiful paintings behind us. I mean, paintings.
Sorry, I called it a painting.
That's okay. And also, YouTube might not be like the... I'm like terrible at YouTube.
Oh no, this is on YouTube.
Oh, I was like, you don't want to see my YouTube. It's like 300 subscribers that I feel like just feel bad for me. They're like, she doesn't know what she's doing.
I just mean we get it on video so you can, because I'm accompanied by the most beautiful backdrop ever. And RochelleStepman.com. Check out, you have to check out the Instagram. It's so good. Your gram is so great. And if you're going to book a piece, for the love of God, get on the website. Do it the correct way.
You can fill out a form.
You can fill out the form. Don't slide into the DMs like I do. That's how we met. But
and
that's
I'm
okay.
Like, also, if you're going to slide into the DMs, like, be like, artwork, like, put in caps, make it easy for me, because I don't
follow up
miss,
every 2 weeks.
I would feel awful missing people's, you know.
Yeah,
it just makes me feel bad.
Just putting this at the top of your inbox. My girlfriends do that sometimes. I'm like, thank you, I need that.
Or when someone comments on a picture and they're like, hey, I DM'd you about an art piece, I'm like, I am gonna see that more than I'm gonna see, because you get way more messages, and so that is always very helpful, and I always end up getting back to those people. I love those people.
Okay, I love those people too.
Yeah.
Comment on that picture.
Yeah, just like in general, but but also
comment, like, and share, and talk about my normal shape nose. Okay.
That's exactly.
I'm just kidding. Okay, love you lots. Thank you. You're incredible. Happy birthday, Bo Bramble.
Happy birthday, Bo. Aww. He has a tattoo from me.
I know. I didn't even look
at
my
a
list.
Rock star.